Okay, so we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. It's the Crass Files podcast with Adam on Friday. Time's flying, hey? And author and researcher Sharon Daphnis plugging in with me today. And I try and get Sharon on a bit more frequently because things are speeding up. And there's always so much to cover. So we've got a bit to go through today. And Sharon's work is going to be very interesting. Everything's up on the website, crassfiles.com. Enjoy. Contact me through there anytime. Thanks to the members. You can support me over there for a cup of coffee a month. I'm doing this alone. And just helps me to continue here as my costs go up to run that website as well, Sharon. My website's so heavy, Sharon. It's a multimedia website. And there's a lot of JavaScript and plugins. And some people are saying that it's loading too slowly. So we're going to try and speed that up. But it costs another $100 a year to do that. So people, listening can jump over and be a member. There's lots of members content for them. And it just helps me to keep this going and up and running, where you're doing it by yourself and doing your books and research and your website as well. And but it's interesting times, and there's always so much to cover. So we'll pick up where we last left off with you, Sharon. Run us through what's been going on your end, because you've been traveling and gifting and weather things going on. So
it's a lot of weather. So much weather is going on right now.
It's crazy here too. Yeah,
everywhere, worldwide. Oof. And it's all the result of organite gifting. The media says it's the result of climate change, but actually the climate change is the result. So all the crazy weather and the change of climate is because people have been finally disabling the weather weaponry on a massive scale. And we just got back from Utah. We went to do Salt Lake City, which strategically was the next place we needed to cover in order to facilitate the summer monsoon for the entire Southwest and to facilitate snowfall in the winter from the Northwest. So this was such a strategic spot, and I knew it was next because we've already done almost all of California and much of Nevada. We actually covered more of Nevada. We've covered Oregon and Washington, Arizona, and New Mexico. So what was next is definitely Utah. And we gridded all of Salt Lake City with organite, and unbelievable weather followed this gifting. It turns out at the same time we were doing that, other people were doing major gifting around the world. And that is why I bet you that somebody listening tonight is having some crazy weather.
Oh, that's for sure. We've got more massive rain, which they're telling us is like a quadruple conveyor belt of La Nina or something like that.
Yes, they call it La Nina because they cannot call it what it is. And I'll talk a little bit more about that, but the energetic change.
They're saying they actually called it tsunamis in the sky, got all these new names and terms for it. But apparently from what they're saying, and it's starting now, they're telling us we're going to be in for a lot of rain here till next year.
You sure are. Yeah. And it's indefinite. And besides you guys, you're in the east, right?
Yeah, I'm on the east coast of, which is Sydney, yeah.
And then on the west, Western Australia is getting positively hammered. Perth had its wettest August in 4 years, and 40 weather stations recorded new records for August for that region near Perth. It's unbelievable. And this is as of yesterday. Perth had over 6 inches of rain for August, which is very, very good. So it's actually many, many places in the West have set records. Now it sounds like where you guys are in the East, you guys are probably setting some records. I just got the news from New Zealand that in the last 3 days, a foot of rain has fallen. So they are having flood watches there as well. So your part of the world definitely getting hammered with rain. And it's not just you guys. It is worldwide.
Yeah, I do hope that a lot of our farmers and people who are living in dry zones who just haven't had enough over the years, I know they're getting a lot too.
And
Australia kind of greens up, even in the deserted areas around, it's really fascinating.
Excellent.
What's happening. Yeah, so you're getting a lot of that where it's kind of greening up in arid, dry zones,
That is wonderful news, and here in the West as well, Nevada and Eastern California near the California-Nevada border was green. There were new lakes. I'd never seen water there before. Green grass growing in the desert. It was absolutely beautiful. And I mean, there's so much more. I mean, I've got so many places that are setting records. We completely had Death Valley washed out after this gifting trip. So for all the people who are afraid that this is weather warfare against us, this is actually the Oregonite gifters that are releasing blockages in the atmospheric flow of Oregon energy that is supposed to bring rain year-round. We aren't actually supposed to have arid zones. Every part of this world is supposed to be conducive to agriculture, and we should not need irrigation anywhere. The climate's been damaged and warmed and created more desert through the cell tower grid. It's all of that. And before that, there were other means that were being used. Generally, this relates to the misery that's been inflicted on the earth over millennia and just bringing down the vibration of the world, as well as installing weather weaponry that prevents rain. So now we're seeing a total restoration. I knew Salt Lake City was huge, and I would love to tell you about what we did there and the subsequent events, because it was more than we'd ever seen. At the same time, another Oregonite gifter was working in Canada, in Saskatchewan, and she did over 100 tower busters. We did 500. Somebody else we know in Washington State was doing mountaintops at the same time. So you could just imagine there's more than that. There's East Coast gifters that have joined in. There's somebody in Hawaii that has joined in. Other parts of Canada, Nova Scotia. Mm. It was Newfoundland. I sent a whole bunch of Oregonite to Newfoundland for somebody to give to all their friends. It was for a wedding. It was so cool. You know, the amount of Oregonite that's been going out in the world now, it's astronomical. And now the governments are saying we cannot fight climate change anymore. See, what they want us to think climate change is hot and dry. What they're talking about, you have to read between the lines. They can't fight this new colder, wetter world with all this rain. That's what they want to fight. They want the water scarcity. They want the scarcity of food and all of this. But now they can't fight it. And, you know, soon we won't even need irrigation. We won't need to beg water companies for the right to water the fields. So it's definitely changing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I can't believe the amount of water that we've seen here in Australia. It's been absolutely outrageous.
It's epic.
To the point where I'm like, why are we even paying for water?
Exactly.
It's
that's
crazy.
My point.
And, you know, definitely, there are these new water areas as well. I know, I was thinking, like, because you have a lot of problems here where, you know, they want to build new dams and stuff, and you know the people in the green movement and that don't want that to happen, but I tend to be thinking they need to be. Is that what happens in your area? I mean, you know, all this water could be stored somewhere. We could be have a lot more drinking water and more fresh water into the future as well if we were to store it more, but we don't seem to have enough catchment areas, and the
I
ones that we do are overflowing
to...
you know.
Yeah, I think
our
everyone's
gonna
have to do their own.
Yeah, I know. I think you can. I definitely think, and people on properties can and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, our biggest one, which feeds all of Sydney, is Warragamba Dam. It's a beautiful area. And that was spilling the equivalent to the amount of water in Sydney Harbour per day. Mm. That's how much water is going over. And it's just – and sometimes these areas can't take it, and they can flood neighbourhoods and everything like that. So I'm thinking into the future – We need to do something with this water as well. It's coming down.
The infrastructure needs to be updated, because now here's the problem that every government of the world, you know, the big governments, the local governments, just your city government, they all believe the same lie or perpetrate the same lie, because I actually don't think the government is really run by humans at all. But the lie is water scarcity. And because they've created a narrative of global warming and drought for the past, you know, it's been like over a decade now. It goes on and on and on. That it doesn't matter how much rain we get. They have a certain agenda. They have a certain way that they view reality, and they want us to view reality. So they haven't prepared the infrastructure for this newer, wetter world where we should be collecting. I mean, everyone should have a rainwater collection system as part of their house, you know. And they're just not – they're lying and saying there is no water. And it's like we look around us and we're like, can you maybe collect some of this abundant water so you can have it and don't tell us there isn't any? You know?
That's crazy.
It's illogical.
Yeah, that's the thing though, isn't it? Yeah, they're telling people now in our last fake elections, I guess everybody ran to save the climate. and they voted for these zealots who now have more power than what they should. And this is all connected with the UN and the climate change agenda we're going to start seeing now. And so people are being told through their TV sets and the government that there's not enough rain. And rain is pouring down everywhere,
exactly.
And people are being flooded. Yeah, but it's the TVs telling them to
cease.
But it's
not.
Yeah, but it's not. And you're right there as well. A lot of our infrastructure there is from a long time ago, and it hasn't been updated because the government's trying to maintain the lie that we don't have enough water. The same lie that there's too many of us on the planet when most of the planet's uninhabited.
That's true. But you know what's interesting about that, too? More of the planet will be inhabitable with this increase of rainfall. So, yeah, they're not just perpetrating a lie, but they have installed infrastructure to prevent rain. And we are undoing that now. We gridded the entire city of Salt Lake. And actually, just to give you a quick synopsis of what we did and what happened following.
Yeah, tell us about all that.
We do Organite gifting. I mean, anybody who's listened to us chat before knows a little about it. We put our devices, our Organite, near cell towers. We create huge grids of Organite to counter that energy grid. And the Organite neutralizes the cell tower. This is a lot to get into, so I recommend check out my website for more on that to know how it works. But that's what we do. We put them in the environment. And it creates a counter grid of orgone energy, which negatively ionizes the atmosphere and creates rainfall. And by placing them near these deadly energy sources, it makes the Organite actually work harder. So there's definitely stuff to read on my site about that, and you can learn exactly how they work. But what we did this time is we went on a new road up the Sierra foothills. So, up north through the Sierra Nevada range on the foothills. And we left Organite by every cell tower that we saw on this extremely windy mountain road. And I couldn't believe that there were even any there, but there were. And we left Organite every few miles if we didn't see a tower and just covered that whole road. And then we went over to Reno and we gridded all the way to Reno. And that's where we stopped for the first night. And that was July 28th. And then on July 29th, we went from Reno to Salt Lake City and gridded the entire way there. Every tower we saw and even in between. And then we worked in Salt Lake City from July 31st through August 2nd. So we had three full days there where we gridded the entire city. And that was where we started to see the results. It usually takes a few days, especially within one city. On day two, I thought it was going to take 3 days because this was a place with almost no Organite. On day two is when the shift happened. And all of a sudden, the heat broke. It got really cool. And in the evening, a huge wind kicked up. It kind of a scary wind. I was worried we had made a tornado because we gifted so much so fast there. And then the thunder and lightning started, and we had a huge downpour. The whole city got a downpour. So it took, that was 4 days into it, doing the desert and the mountains and 2 days in the city. So we were already getting results. And then on August 3rd, we went back from Salt Lake City down through Nevada, and we gifted from Salt Lake to Las Vegas, where we had already gifted. So we stopped there because we'd already done it. And yeah, it was unbelievable. The environment has totally changed since we started. We did Las Vegas in 2017. The desert there that was previously brown and barren was green with grass and living plants and new lakes of water. So already we were seeing the results. But it was after the gifting, when we got home, that we really started to see the news coming in. And that was with all this record-breaking rain. On August 3rd, which was the last day we were gifting, the first leg of our trip got torrential rains through the Sierras. Lake Tahoe got 2.2 inches of rain in 1 hour. One town got, it was called Markleyville, got 2.5 inches in just 90 minutes on August 3rd. And Reno had 1.22 inches at the airport in 1 hour. So this was the first leg of the trip we were seeing results. And then the second leg of the trip, we were seeing results starting August 5th. Death Valley had record floods, got totally flooded out, lots of people stranded. I think it was about 1,000 people stranded. The roads are destroyed. They're still working on fixing them. And that was highly unusual. They got 1.46 inches in one storm. That's 75% of typical for the whole year. So this is the kind of stuff we were seeing following it. And there's even more, a couple days later, we heard about flash flooding in Denver and the Bonneville salt flats. This was the coolest part. Near Salt Lake City, there are these salt flats where once a year there's an event called Speed Week, and everybody brings their race cars there and goes as fast as they can to try to break speed records. the whole event got rained out. Not just rained out, Bonneville Salt Flats became Bonneville Lake. So now there's a new lake there. So these are just a few of the results from the U.S. I've got more from around the world that just... So it's even in Asia, you know, Seoul, Korea on August 9th got over 20 inches of rain. It was the highest rainfall in one day since, trying to think about when the last one was. Oh, it says 1920. Yeah. When they got 14 inches. So, I mean, I'm kind of overwhelmed by these rain statistics. That's just a few.
Boy, that's incredible.
It's not just here. And our friend in Saskatchewan who was gifting created a tornado in her town and snow in Alaska in August, which is not normal for Alaska in August.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Just a few examples.
we actually had snow in Byron Bay, which is subtropical area, you know, like 10 hours north from Sydney, not far from Queensland border. Actual snow. People said, tried to say that, the media tried to say that it was sort of hail, but it was actually snow. And, you know, I have spoken to people up in Queensland. They've had a rainy, colder sort of time as well, which is not like the weather there. But I've just never seen anything like it. It's so much. It's just so wet.
I think it's hit critical. Yeah, because it shouldn't dry. You guys should have saturated soil so your plants can grow.
We do. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what you were saying before. It's amazing. You've got these areas that are just dead. I mean, they're dead for years and years. But that life is just under the surface. and the way that it comes back. Yeah, it's still there, but you wouldn't know. You go to these areas and you're like, this place is dead, you know? and then like you're saying, you go there and it's just all these green shoots squirming up, and next thing you know, it's green. Next thing you know, there's a lake. This is where we should be living. This is what we should. It brings the birth. I can't believe I've been doing some filming lately on my phone, the amount of birds that are coming in and the amount that we're seeing around here that we didn't get so much before. We're getting all these beautiful parrots. We're getting the cockatoos and the red-tailed cockatoos. I even had, like, king parrots, which are bright red, come in. Lots of lorikeets, like all parrots, and lots of bird life. So I plant all natives around, and you can see them, and there's more bees. I've noticed just traveling and being around, everything's kind of, as I said, wet. It's greener. There's a... explain a little bit, like, as well, I'm noticing even when I go out, the atmosphere is so wet and heavy sometimes, you know, and I'm thinking it's going to pour again. But there seems to be so much water out there around us as well, which gives me a great feeling, you know. I feel really good.
It's wonderful. I'm glad to hear it. That is wonderful news from Australia. I am excited for everybody around the world. I know that this comes with some difficulty because of flooding and damage and stuff like that. This restoration is necessary for the world, and it's been too long artificially desertified. Australia in particular, I would say, has been hit the hardest in the world as far as desert. And now to see that restoration is really wonderful. So it's happening for everyone. What has happened is Orgonite actually has hit critical mass at this point. It's the point of no return. This planet has been parasitically infected for a very long time, filled with deadly energy to create a climate that's not natural to this world. And now that is being reversed. And it was slow. We've been doing this for 8 years, but it accelerated this year. And so we're seeing what it is the atmosphere is full of water. This is a water planet. And we have so much water in the atmosphere. It's not just in the earth that we need to harvest. But the water needs to be able to collect into clouds. It needs to be able to work. The hydrological cycle needs to be able to function. And with the deadly energy arrays, the cell tower grids over the land, that has made it impossible for rain because it's positively ionizing. It prevented cloud formation. So what's happening now is since that's being reversed, we're able to harness all this wonderful moisture out of the atmosphere that's been there all along. But it's just when you've seen those hazy skies that people say are chemtrail skies, in actuality, what they're seeing is deadly energy that is making the water vapor flat and lifeless. And the water molecules cannot collect into clouds because of this energy. So it's really not a chemtrail sky they're seeing. They're actually just seeing deadly energy that's not allowing the clouds to form. Now we've reversed it. So many people have gotten involved. There are people in Australia doing it too, mm-hmm. majorly, all mm-hmm. over the world. And I know there's somebody in China that has done it too. That's probably what's causing all, I have some more news about China coming up. They are about to get hit with more rain than they know what to do with. It hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen next week. So yeah, it's just worldwide now. We have so much water to work with. There's no shortage. It's in the earth. It's in the sky. All we have to do is heal the energy of the atmosphere with Organite. Anyone can do this in their local area, and you'll see an increase in rainfall. And then we can harness that water. We never have to irrigate again. That's what I think. Coming up, we're never going to have to irrigate again.
Yeah, this is what we were talking about, just down at the ground level individually. Every house in the suburbs and everywhere that you live can get these chunks of Organite, whether it's ordering from you, and they sell them in Australia. There's websites now where you can buy it in bulk and just put it around your property, around the whole area of your property from front to back, and leave it.
Yeah, you grid your property.
There you go.
Create a good energy field around your home. It doesn't just bring you cleaner air and rain, but it also neutralizes EMF, so it makes it a safer environment.
That's right. I mean, yes.
There's so much that has happened, I mean, since this gifting, and this energy war I'm talking about also has an extraterrestrial element to it. Something very bizarre happened. There was a meteor boom. They called it a meteor, but then they say, we think it was a meteor, but we don't know, over Salt Lake City, and that was on August 13th. So just over a week after we gifted that area, something strange happened in the atmosphere over it. And meanwhile, there's been, by the way, more flooding in that last week. There was flash flooding all throughout the Southwest. Las Vegas, there's some cool footage you can get to on my blog if you want to watch a casino full of water with water pouring through the roof. It's really it's really amusing. And I mean, I guess not so amusing for the casino owners, but Idaho had golf ball sized hail. So, I mean, these are just a few more things. But so the weather's been off the hook. There's been a mass exodus of parasites. You don't see planes flying. You see more flight cancellations. Have you guys been experiencing that in Australia too, the flight cancellations?
Yeah, it's been like these chaos scenes at the airport. Some of it's been about weather and all sorts of conditions and things going on. But chaos.
Chaos.
People not being able to fly anywhere and I wouldn't go anywhere near it.
I wouldn't either, and for more reasons than one.
Yeah, more reasons than one.
I'm getting more and more very strong evidence that when we get on an airplane, there's a chance that we're not being flown by human jet travel, but that we're entering a holographic reality in which we're transported interdimensionally. Now, I know that might sound outlandish, but the more and more evidence is pouring in. 31,000 flights were canceled. I think it was JetBlue, which is going to be in advance for November. They're anticipating November is going to be a very high OR time. They blame the weather for this, but in actuality, they cannot use whatever technology it is that they use to transport this many people this often, because all of that's been neutralized. It's very complicated to get into, and it sounds a little outlandish, but I do think that most of the planes we're seeing up there are not actually flying by means we understand. And now you hear
The flight paths don't make sense.
No, they don't.
It kind of tends to lend into a flat Earth theme, but also a simulation theory. But it's
A hologram. So,
yeah, like we were talking about this on previous shows. If you look at the, I think John Hamer was bringing up, if you look at flights where they go, it doesn't make any sense. Like from Chile, Santiago to New Zealand, it's right there, but it goes all the way up to Americas, and the flight paths are weird. And when you're on them, it just doesn't make you're sort of thinking, is it going up and then entering some kind of slipstream or something?
I think it's entering some kind of wormhole, because
some
here's
kind of
what's
wormhole,
going on.
Yeah, and transporting. Yeah.
I have I'm getting more and more evidence towards this. Like, here's an example. I know that people always said when it's cloudy, you can hear planes more. Well, when it's cloudy, the atmosphere is higher in OR, orgone energy. Well, when you could hear planes more is usually when there's high OR. And my theory on it is when the OR is too high, they have to resort to human technology, just basic jet travel that humans can do. And when the atmosphere is DOR-ish, that's when you see all the holographic planes up there. And they are using a technology that is different from anything we know. But now they have to cancel so many and use this very inefficient human technology because some humans have made this planet impossible for them to operate on. I mean, they work in a totally different way than we do. They are silicon-based digital reality. They are silicon entities. And they aren't like us, and they run everything, which includes the airlines. So
that's right. And probably perhaps just to cover some quick bullet points for new listeners who come here, because still on all the channels and Telegram and stuff, people and Twitter and everywhere, there's still you still see people posting these outrageous pictures of the skies with the crisscrossing and all the chemtrails. So it's still a very common theme. Explain a little bit for new listeners who are plugging in and hearing the podcast, give them a couple of bullet points, which is all in your book, about what's really going on here with the chemtrails.
Interdimensional travel. The cell tower grid on the ground is a mirror of the grid in the sky, and they need those cell towers. They need that DOR in order to do whatever it is they're doing up there. Now, I don't know how their technology works, but it is based on deadly radiation, or DOR, which is the opposite of orgone. That's what we're fighting against. This is an energy of war, an energy war of two energies, orgone energy and deadly radiation battling it out. And they live on deadly radiation, and we live on orgone. That's the natural resonance of our planet. It's the energy of life. It's the energy of creation. And that's why we neutralize cell towers, which are deadly radiation sources. We've neutralized so many of them now that now they can't even fly. This gives me more evidence towards the more orgonite we gift, the less they're flying. It's not just that it makes chemtrails clean up out of the sky. It makes it impossible for them to be up there. The chemtrail is simply a byproduct of interdimensional travel, nothing more. It's not something in itself. When you see them, it means there's enough DOR present for those entities to travel through or for them to fly us through, because I think they're transporting us that way. Then when they have to cancel a lot of flights because of a major orgonite gifting, they have to resort to human-based technology for flight. I mean, just jet fuel, just, you know, very rudimentary flight. That's why you can hear the planes more when the OR is high, and you can't see them. You can see them when the DOR is high, and they're able to use that technology. So this is a transportation technology, and the grid is just how it works. It's digital. They need a hologram to cover up whatever it is, and the plane is their hologram. And the chemtrail could very well be part of that hologram as well.
Yeah, people need to remember, too, that no planes hit the Twin Towers. They were holograms
as well.
Those
were holograms as well.
And they were planes. I mean, you're just like, wow, that is a plane. So you can see what they're doing. And you were the first one to bring this up on our first podcast, I think, Sharon, about the strange planes up there, whatever they are, in the high sky. And spraying the chemtrails. Sometimes you've got the other planes lower with the contrails, which people are identifying. But the ones leaving the sprays coming in and out of the clouds seem to disappear and reappear, start and stop. We were talking about that. But also filming them, and you were talking about getting better cameras and with zooms. I only had like an iPhone, but I was able to zoom in a few times on them, and they just seemed like it was almost see-through, like clear
white. Yeah,
there's
some strange things up there.
Yeah, and disappearing, and it just didn't seem like a plane when you zoomed in on it. So that was after you told me that, and I witnessed it for myself. And these things just come in and out and disappear. So it's not just these physical planes up there spraying chemtrails on us to poison us. I always kind of got suckered into that, but there's something much deeper going on there.
Yeah.
And you just have to look at it. So and this is really interesting too, yeah, with the weather and the change of the flights and the it's not as heavy. It used to be just everywhere. Every time you look up, there's planes, planes, planes. Now it's like, where are they all gone?
Because they can't, because everything we saw up there was fake. It was not real. It was holographic. It was masking something else. I think they were transporting us around interdimensionally. I think they still do, but they can't fly people on the volume that they were without doing that. To use only jet fuel and jet propulsion would be way too inefficient. The airlines have been relying on interdimensional technology for a very long time. As far as chemtrails versus contrails, there really are no contrails anymore. I mean, the argument by, you know, chemtrail people is there's a difference. I think they're all chemtrails. However, I don't think the chemtrail is in itself anything to worry about. It's just a byproduct of interdimensional travel. And when they're short, I used to think, yeah, contrails short, the chemtrails are long, but actually they're all just the same thing. The short ones are short because the DOR is too weak for that craft to get through properly. And you'll see the short ones will disappear completely. Watch a plane with a short one and watch the thing stop completely. And then the long ones, they cut in and out because you'll see them in parts of the atmosphere that are higher in DOR, and then they lose control in the high OR parts, and you'll see them disappear. Lately, I've been seeing the planes disappearing too. It's becoming more apparent. And also, if you watch a bunch of them at once, when you see a whole bunch of them show up all at the same time, watch them for like a half hour. You'll see a mass exodus of the crafts. They're usually not doing well. They're usually cutting in and out. And if you watch really carefully, you will see orbs shining around them. I caught one on camera the other day, and it was amazing. A silver orb. It actually looks kind of golden in the picture on my blog. But you will see that this is interdimensional and related to something not of this world. And it's kind of time for people to wake up on that, but I think it's going to be pretty hard to tell people, hey, you know, when you've been flying to visit grandma, you've been on an alien spaceship. So, you know, it's going to be a little difficult.
It makes me wonder, should we even be flying? It doesn't seem like it's the right thing to do at all.
It is not the right thing to do.
I mean, we get hammered up there too. People get so sick. I mean,
we have no business up there.
That's what I'm thinking, you know, but we live in different countries and we go and see our relatives and we have holidays all the time. Like, but people don't even need to really have holidays or do these things. They're just flying because they want to fly. And it's just this thing to do, you know, it's just become so normalized. But always when the thing is, over the years that I've done it, I always just had this intuition or gut feeling, and going up there, I feel like a fish out of water. I never felt comfortable. And in the middle of the night, I'm thinking, you know, it's just that hum of the engines and you're up there and everyone's watching these little TV screens and reruns of Seinfeld or whatever it is and having their little snacks. And I'm just thinking, where are we? Like, this is very, very strange, you know? I just didn't feel right on there as well. But, you know, obviously you're getting a big EMF hit. And as we talked about, people have got the TV screens and you're leaning your head on the things there, and you just you feel terrible when you get off them, and you're getting off somewhere else, and it's like you're being transported there.
But
it's interesting to think that in that long haul flight you could be in some kind of no man's land.
Yes,
or,
that's what
you know,
I
some
think.
Kind of abyss or something.
That's why
that
I won't
isn't
go.
Really anything. I don't know.
Yeah, I won't do it anymore. I have more evidence of that in my book. There's a picture of, I got it from a plane I was flying in 2017. I got a plane flying underneath our plane with a trail behind it in the strangest angle, and I got a great picture of it. Now, in real life, no plane would fly that close to us underneath us. I'm sorry. It wasn't real life. It was a hologram. Yeah. Other people noticed it and said, what the heck is going on here? There was another one when we landed at LAX. There was a plane that was just hovering above the runway and not landing and not moving. And I noticed it, and someone else said, what is going on there? It's a hologram.
That's
none
right.
of it's real.
Well, how long has the U.S. military, for example, been messing with this stuff? How long have they had these crafts that can't be detected? I mean, they show us
they
stuff.
They have those.
Oh well, if they've got stuff that you wouldn't even know is there, so they're really telling you we've got objects that we can fly all around you, but you wouldn't even see. So they're telling you what they're doing.
If they have them, then they got them from extra dimensions.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
it's
technology.
Human. No. There's no human capable. The whole Wright brothers thing, like, makes me laugh. The thought of humans going to the moon, like, I'm on the floor laughing at the thought of the moon landing is just instant comedy to me.
Insane. It's insane.
Look at people. I mean, there's no way they could fly an airplane. I mean, all this technology was given to us by extra dimensionals.
That's
and
right.
There is higher technology that we don't understand that they're using here on Earth, but it's not coming from us. No human mind could conceive of it. You know, even the military is getting it from them.
Do you think that I always thought that there's some kind of maybe exchange for ideas of technology for maybe, you know, human energy? in a way. We're being fed on. We know that, you know.
Absolutely.
There's something feeding on human life through fear and everything. But at the same time, these elitists or whatever you want to call them in positions of power, yeah, they're mucking around with technology because there's no way.
Well, they are aliens too.
That's right.
They are.
But they
AI.
Look human, or they're
sort of,
or they're able. Maybe they're able to shapeshift or something like that. I'm not sure, but I definitely wouldn't want to be around them. They give you a bad feeling, you know. And you look at some of these like Pelosi and some of these US people, like these women in particular. You can see that reptilian form just, you know, behind the surface there. Anyway, in the eyes and they look like They just, I look at them and I'm glad, and that's just through the TV. I wouldn't want to be sitting next to these people. I think it would feel dreadful.
Oh,
they look
gosh,
like some
yeah,
kind
energy.
Of creatures behind there. Yeah, bad energy. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So what's going on with the organite gifting hitting critical mass as it has now is those kinds are dying. Those AI parasites are dying off. You see a lot of celebrity deaths, I mean, at young ages too, and for weird reasons. A lot of them are dying off now. So
yeah.
We have the climate change on one hand. You know, you've got the world becoming inhospitable to them. Now it's very wet and rainy, and they hate that. And we have abundance, so we're not producing enough fear and suffering for them because now we're getting rain and ample food and all that. And so they're losing the suffering, the food, the energetic food. They're losing their drought and their global warming, which they need. They need the DOR. DOR equals drought and global warming. It's a deadly radiation creates that. They're losing it. They're losing their hold on the earth. They're losing their ability to fly here. They can't transport our goods. They can't transport their human cattle around anymore. They're losing their hold on this world, and they are gradually going to lose their hold on the human mind if we can keep whittling down this dark energy grid. It's all about mind control, too. And people are waking up. They're taking it too far, and now people are waking up. So they are suffering, actually. Read between the lines on the news stories, and you'll see that it's them that has the problem. And they were the ones that had the virus, too, a computer virus. Mm. So the takedown is now in full swing.
Mm. And I was going to ask you just before your thoughts on, you know how they were saying that when the 5G got turned on or when 5G started, there was a problem with planes in the US and all this? What's going on there?
Yeah, and that is so interesting to me. I know that the 5G itself is likely not the problem. The problem is likely organite that's been placed near those airports already, and organite interferes with their deadly radiation grid. And all those so-called planes up there, it's like we were talking about. It's some kind of holographic technology being used to transport us around. Once we get in there, we're in a holographic reality. So what happens is the grid on the ground, as I mentioned earlier, the cell tower grid on the ground is a mirror of the chemtrail grid in the sky. It's basically the reason for that grid up there. Disable the one down here and the one up there goes away. So the 5G was probably not the problem. The problem was probably what the organite near the airport was doing to the 5G to throw off that grid. So it became an emergency to them because the more deadly radiation increases near the piece of organite, the harder the organite works. So they're going to end up with this major interference. It's not that it blocks cell signals like you could talk on cell phones. It's that it's disrupting something about their flight grid. And, you know, that is something that we still don't fully understand because we don't know how they're flying up there. All we know is that evidence points to it being based on the grid on the ground. So, yeah, I would say organite's completely disrupting the whole 5G agenda.
Well, these 5G towers are saturated around the airport areas and driving out to the airport because, you know, I've been going to the Sydney airport for a long time, but now you can all the way out there are these 5G towers and panels and connections and stuff like that everywhere. And then within the airport itself, you can see all these towers all around there as well. And so originally I'm wondering, this is definitely connected, but then I'm thinking, I wonder what would happen if, yeah, people start putting this organite all around the airports as well. And
it's not going to be good for them.
No, it's not going to be good.
There's going to be a lot of canceled flights, I think.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's very strange. So, yeah, you are seeing a breakdown of the AI. The problem is the humans are in a very strong symbiosis with AI via the smartphone. So most people are totally hooked into it, and when the AI suffers, the people suffer. But it shouldn't be that way. If we could, well, I have already disconnected from that. Anyone who could try to do that, you'll see a huge difference, you know, and they won't be controlling you. But see, what happens is every time they lose control of someone, they lose a little piece of food that they needed. So we really need to stop feeding them. We need to negate their deadly energy and stop feeding them with our energy. And the better we improve our environment, the more rain we bring, the more life-affirming the Earth becomes, the less of them there will be here. One day, this place will be completely different. Now, with all this climate restoration, they're printing this news story day after day about Central California becoming a lake, which it should be. It looks like it should be a lake. So, you know, they're finally admitting that this is going to be a much wetter world coming up.
I just saw a recent video of the what was happening in Australia with the fires as well, burning, using some kind of directed energy weapons in California. You guys, like Australia, have been under heavy attack for a lot of years, long time, you know. And
yeah,
as you said,
there's
so many strange things going on as well, with the celebrity deaths and everything, and that's also in your state. There's all that going on as well. But yeah, you guys have been under such heavy attack for so long, as we have here in Australia, because you're a state, like the state of California, but you've copped
like
it just
country.
As much as it's kind of like a country.
It's a communist country on the west coast,
like
of
Australia.
North
America. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, we need to put them together, and we'll call it Calaralia.
Well, you know, California is the pits. I mean, it's a beautiful place, but it is hit.
It's crazy.
It's hit hard. And the thing is, though, the wildfire situation has become like it's not a problem anymore. And in fact, when they report on wildfires, it's almost a joke now. Like, there aren't really any wildfires right now. I mean, there's been so much rain. They'll just try to set them wherever they can. But this year has been unbelievable for climate restoration and less wildfires here. So we have that on our side. As for the celebrity deaths, I mean, that Anne Heche story, that was crazy. That happened actually really near where I grew up. And in fact, right around the corner from like the best coffee in LA. And it's just weird that it was in that neighborhood, because I'm like, this is just a normal area. And this woman goes driving into a house. We think that she glitched. I mean, they say it was drugs, but we think that the AI is glitching big time right now and they can't function. I keep seeing these stories of deaths of celebrities. Mm. She was from a show called Another World that was a soap opera. And then a few days later, I saw a story of another actress from that show dying at the age of 49. And I thought, how weird. And it's called Another World. Does that tell us that maybe these people are AI from another realm?
Mm-hmm.
And why are they dying so young? Why are they glitching out and dying now?
Yeah, why does a Hollywood celebrity drive 130 kilometers down a residential street into a house? Like,
I think she glitched. I think her circuitry screwed up.
And,
you know?
And then there was like supposedly a video with the paramedics, and she sat up.
Oh, really?
You didn't see that?
No, I didn't see the video. I just read stories.
There's a video where the paramedics are taking this Anne Heche lady on the bed, you know, into the back of the thing, and she sits up, and they shove her back down.
Oh boy!
It's so weird. It's making boing, you know, and then they push it back down, and then they made up all these stories about the death. So, as you said, very, 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 very odd things going on. And you know, looking at Hollywood, and this part of the world, which you know would typify what we're talking about here. You know, if this system's going to start breaking down, it's going to be, you're going to see it in these parts of the world, Las Vegas, you know, where all this kind of stuff's going on. And these ones or these entities or whatever they are, you know, are so centered around, we might see this start to break down. But what we're seeing doesn't make sense. That's the thing. I mean, it's not like a traditional Hollywood death or something that you would go, okay, it's just bizarre. And and I said this last year, and I said this year is going to be so over the top weird.
Oh my gosh!
It really is. It's like a frenzied breakdown. you know, sort of happening. And that would make sense, that we've been living in a artificial kind of reality in a dream world, you know, kind of like the Matrix. I bring that up. And if it gets damaged in any way, or this system starts to lose its grip, and it will start trying to lash out like a drowning person, you know, trying to save themselves and splashing around in the water, you know, as it goes down. And if this intensifies and it loses its control and its power grip on humanity, and of course our minds, you're going to see these glitches everywhere, because we're living in this, we're living in this kind of artificial construct, an illusion, if you will. And to us, we look around, we think this is absolutely real, but I think maybe the wool, Sharon, has been pulled over our eyes. Maybe we're, I don't know what you think about this, but maybe we're, our reality is there, sort of behind the smoke screen or something.
Oh, it's there.
But they've created this artificial reality, as you said, through the phones. And we've kind of forgotten about our traditional real selves, you know, in our real lives. It's kind of like, I feel like it's a dimensional thing. And
it is.
We've lived this life since birth, and we think that it's real, but it's not. And all of us and our listeners, we're awake to it. So we can see this whole system and what's going on. But most people are walking around in a daydream. They're working, they're doing all this stuff, and they don't understand. But if we would have built this system, then you would obviously be like a computer going down, and you're going to see all this weird glitches. It sounds crazy, but I absolutely think so. As you said before, it's bloody planes flying from Sydney to Hawaii or whatever it is. This doesn't seem right to me. None of it. This TV, the TV sets and the news, and just how people go about their lives seems artificial, even though they're friends or you know them and you can physically touch and speak to them. It just seems like our whole world has been altered slightly, and that implies to me that we're being fed on, and we're being kind of kept asleep, even though we think we're awake. But we're not really. And I think that that's what could be happening, definitely. And I think it's going to get weirder and more bizarre. But we don't need to be worried or scared about that. I think it's a natural course, and it had to happen anyway, you know?
It has to happen, or we will die, and this planet will die. We have to get rid of them, or there is no more Earth. We need there's a planetary emergency, and we have finally hit critical mass. And I feel like if everybody just gets on board and keeps on doing the Organite gifting, yes, we will see cataclysmic weather as this thing sorts itself out, but we will be getting rid of the parasites too and restoring our natural reality. But you have to be ready for it, because even people like you and I who are awake, or we feel like we're awake, we don't really know what's going on either. I mean, there's so much that we can't answer about these entities that have been running the show. All we know is they're bad and we need to get rid of them. So even though we don't really know who they are or where they came from, it's time to get rid of them.
Yeah,
that's what we've been working on. There are two parallel realities now. It's like you could see the other people, like you said, you can interact with them, but they're living in a different reality than those of us who can see what's going on. And the word apocalypse actually means curtain lifting. So, you know, we are the wool is being pulled from our eyes.
That's right. Yes, it has. This they've blinded us from the truth in that way, and people think they're living their life, which they kind of are, but it's a slightly different altered reality, and they're being fed on in that zone. Yeah, definitely, they've gone the wrong way, and it's definitely, you can see it. Yeah, and I think, and this is the Great Awakening, isn't it? Although I don't like saying that term, but I think it's an energy thing. It's a mind thing. And I think that more people are starting to wake up here and see what's really going on around them. And they're starting to ask deeper questions. Yeah. Because the system, as I said, it's acting really desperate. It's actually comical. It's getting so stupid now that I read the news and I look at what they're saying now. It's so out of control, ridiculous how they're trying to cover up everything.
Right.
And the news,
and they're trying
the,
to
the news is the news stations are they have nowhere else to go, so they've got to keep regurgitating the same lies. They've run out of ideas. Have you noticed that?
Absolutely.
They've completely
they
run
do the
out
same
of,
story over and over and over again.
Yeah,
and in even when the conditions changed, like, you know, it's been summertime. This is regarding weather again, as an example. It's been summer here. It's usually pretty dry in the West in the summer. And they've just been using that to say there's a drought. So now all of a sudden when it rains like crazy, they're saying, well, there's still a drought because the flash flooding was actually caused by the drought, not the rain. And they're saying that, we're having flash floods because there hasn't been enough rain and now the ground can't absorb it. But it was actually the rain that caused the flash floods, not the drought. But they want to always move it back to drought. And they're still declaring terrible drought emergencies in places like Texas and Colorado. And then you can look at the rain maps next to the drought monitor and you say, how come the rain map is showing them getting like 5 inches of rain and the drought monitor still has them in extreme drought? You know, so it's just too contradictory now. And there was this really interesting story out of China. This is why I'm predicting heavy, heavy rain, like crazy rain for China next week, because there was an article. Oh, and by the way, did you see the flooding in France and England?
That's right.
Watch that one?
Yeah.
That one's off the charts. In China, there's an article put out about cloud seeding. Like, oh, there's a terrible drought in China, so the government's going to do cloud seeding to try to make it rain. And they mentioned the city Dazhou, and it's along the Yangtze River, and terrible, terrible drought there. And that's where they're going to be doing this cloud seeding operation. Well, they're putting this article out a week in advance so they can take credit for next week's rain, because next week, it's going to be off the hook there. I went straight to the forecast for this region, and it shows thunderstorms every day starting next week. So they're saying drought, but this huge rain is coming, and you know it's going to be off the charts. And by the way, cloud seeding is not an effective way of making rain. So they're just saying that preemptively. But this is not just me talking. This is mainstream science. Cloud seeding is at best 8 to 15% effective in increasing rainfall when there is already rain. It does not make rain out of nothing.
Yes.
What we do makes rain out of nothing. Not really out of nothing, out of water vapor in the atmosphere we didn't see up there, but once we ORize and negatively ionize, clouds form out of what was there. That's what will make rain in China, and I think that's what is. Because there's an organite gifter in Shanghai, which is due east of Dazhou, and I don't know how far he's gone with it, but I know that there's a guy there who's been gifting. So this is worldwide.
You still there?
Yes.
It's interesting, too, with the psychological aspect here and the droughts, which I think we talked about a little bit before. But in the way that the media, and I don't have it on me, but someone put up on Telegram and it made the rounds a little bit, you know, how they're saying they've got a heat wave in Europe at the moment. And they're saying that people in the UK are all going to have heart attacks because it's too hot. They're telling you that in the media. And I speak to some guys in the UK and they're like, no, it's fine. Like, it's not that hot.
Yeah.
And the media are telling us here in Australia, they're all going to die. And someone put up a image. It was great from the French, I think it was France. And it was the nightly news weather. And they showed the nightly news weather and they've got the map of the regions there, and it's all red because of the, you know, 20 something degrees or whatever it is, and it's all red, and they're trying to imply to the watching public that that is red. And then they show you another picture of many years ago and it's even hotter, but it's all green. So the weather channels are saying, they're telling you through the TV that 28 or 29 degrees is the end of the world, bone dry, death, and they got it all red. And but people are living there saying, well, it's not that bad. Like, it's quite good, actually. And so it's amazing the way that they do this, the way that they – and I'm thinking that when they're telling millions and millions of people around the world, they're putting out this information to make people think in their minds that the world is drying up and that it's scorching and there's no rain when it isn't. And people are actually thinking that, then that puts that person in a negative state of mind, which allows allows them to be fed on, is what I'm saying. And
right.
So
people
are being put under
too.
A spell, aren't you? Yeah, because you're thinking that everything's bone dry and it's global warming and the world's drying up. Oh no, because when you think that, you think, oh my God, like, we're running out of water, everything's dry. But you're walking around and it's not. They've put you under a spell. It's
right.
Really crazy.
People just need to look away from that media and to reality. What you're talking about is what Wilhelm Reich figured out too, because his study on orgonomy, he is the scientist that discovered orgone energy, and he found the link between disease in the body and a contracted OR, instead of having a healthy flowing orgone energy, you would have like a contracted OR, which is deadly. That's like the DOR that I was talking about. So when we're bombarding ourselves with deadly radiation through EMF and then taking in the negative media, that's a perfect recipe for a negative mind, you know, and a depleted body as well. And he found likewise that the planet itself is affected that way. And the only obstacle to regreening the entire Earth right now and ending these droughts, I mean, there really aren't droughts anymore because we were using his technology, but the only obstacle is our own inner emotional desert. That's the only obstacle towards healing the outer desert is healing the inner desert first. So we do have a direct impact on our world. Our own health is impacted by OR versus DOR, and the Earth is impacted by it. And we are the greatest OR generators. If we can improve our own energy and become healthy again, then we can generate that life-giving energy out to the world and heal the environment.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really interesting, isn't it? Just a change of mind, isn't it? Changing the view, the way that we see things, that it's not what they're saying.
It's not what they're saying, and they want you to create a negative world through your negative mind. And we can easily flip that inversion. You know, it's so easy, but you have to do it. You have to be willing to say, all right, I'm going to turn off the cell phone. I'm not going to let them program me with this. I know some people who have had a hell of a time doing it, and I know other people who said, easiest thing I ever did. So it just depends on you and how hooked in you are with that. But if you can get off of that and clear your mind from it, that's a lot of the battle right there.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that inner emotional desert. They're creating this barren desert within people's, you know, subconscious minds, you know, inside them, and they're walking around viewing the world in a completely different way, but it's not reality. And I think this is how they're able to shift us into this alternate reality, you know what I mean? It's kind of stealing our minds away from the real world around us, which has always been here, and it's waiting for us to return. But these parasites are stealing our minds, so we're living in a slightly different kind of dimension, if you will, because, yeah, we're just not paying attention. And I think that the more that people wake up to this and can understand, as we said, then the more these parasites will lose touch, their grip. And I think that this world that you talk about, this Garden of Eden, or this better world on the other side of this green world, you know, with the rain and everything we've been discussing today, this is very clearly and very obviously an environment that these parasites cannot be part of, which means they're going to have to go. And I don't know where they'll go, or if it's an interdimensional thing, I don't care. But I don't think they can stay here in this kind of environment. And that is going to be an incredible thing to witness, and I think we're already seeing it as it all breaks down. So I would say to people, don't get scared again, and buckle up, because I think things are going to get crazy. You can't, as this thing dissipates and it breaks away, I think, yeah, you're going to see crazy, crazy things around you that you're just not going to believe. But we're returning, aren't we, to where we need to be.
It's a restoration of the world.
Yes.
It's called geo-restoration. The work we do is geo-restoration. You know, they have that word geo-engineering. Well, we do geo-restoration, and this world is being restored. And no, the parasites can't be here anymore. I think they're dying. I just don't think they can survive. Not that they are life like we are anyway. They're artificial intelligence. They need to go. But I think everyone needs to just keep on doing this. It's going really well. Everybody just needs to keep gifting Orgonite as much as you can, wherever you are. Because another thing that's really wonderful is the more people doing it at the same time, and there were quite a few doing it while we were in Salt Lake City, the more that are doing it, the less you get attacked, because they cannot divert their energy to all these different people. They're losing their grip on our minds.
That's right. How important Is it too to wear organite? Do you wear it quite a lot, or you don't wear too much? I mean, do you wear earrings and pendants and things like when you're out everywhere? I'm guessing just being out and about, especially if you're in city environments or every time you go out, you've got to wear this stuff as well. And
I do.
Wearing this close to your skin, how does this help you as well for folks out there who want to look at getting some of these products, because they're so cheap to get? And also, you have lots of videos on your website how to actually make it at home.
Yeah.
But people can buy pendants and all sorts of things. Isn't this better, folks, than going and buying, I don't know, going to the jewelry store and buying all this expensive sort of stuff we don't need? Wouldn't you rather just wear this orgone stuff and organite stuff and have it around you all the time? Sleep with it under your pillow. That's what I do. Have it around your gardens and stuff like that. Go out with it. I think it's better to give these as gifts to people for Christmas and birthdays. Go on. We'll put your info up, Sharon. And there's so many websites selling this stuff, and you can gift this to other people in the way that you're gifting it. In your trips, you can also gift it to people for special occasions as well, so they can wear it with them at all times.
Yeah, I make a lot of pendants. I do always wear a pendant when I go out. Sometimes wear earrings as well. I make organite earrings too. And I just do that so that my immediate field around myself is protected from EMF, which I don't do well with, but the organite allows me to go shopping and do what I need to do without any issues. And it makes great gifts for people too. I try to make mine very fashionable, not hippie looking. I like to make them artistic. So, you know, if you want to wear a nice stone that's not that expensive, but that does a lot more than regular jewelry, like you were saying, then you can check out the organite pendants and earrings and stuff. And yeah, we have all kinds of things in our store. I do recommend, if you're going to buy it from someone besides us, just read up on our site about how it's supposed to be made. I don't mind if you buy it elsewhere, but make sure that it's made properly, because there's a lot of fake organite out there. But to be made properly, the orgone energy section of my site explains exactly what they're supposed to be made like, and has some videos on how to make them yourself. So we do ours with a lot of fine metal shavings. That's the main thing that you won't see in everybody else's organite. So check out how they're made, because it will take me forever to explain it all.
That's right. I do have some widgets on my website as well for the Orgone Energy and Shungite products, which are handmade in Morocco. Those guys are great too. I've spoken to them, and they're gifting and making all these products. It's a family
Morocco.
Business. Yeah. I think I don't know if I sent you Hope and Tivon. They did a few podcasts with me about all this kind of work, and they have a family business. He's Moroccan, but she's American, but they live over there. And they were so nice coming on and sent me a book and stuff like that and info, and spoke to me a couple of times. They've always got really interesting information about everything that's going on. And they're scientists, sort of, and so they've got this great mindset. But they do it with her mother or his mother, I think. And it's a family handmade thing. So they make all this beautiful stuff like you do. And it's all done really nicely, and I put a widget on my site, so when people buy a product, I get a little bit too, and it's a really nice thing. So we set that up, and it's free shipping, and there's you doing it as well, Sharon, and I always put your links and information in as well. It's such a good thing to get into, isn't it? And promote this a lot more. I could even put up maybe a link to your website on my website, so people can cross over and to get this, because I know you guys, you hand make it, so it's quite raw. You're using the crude materials, and you're doing it by hand, and you can produce quite a lot of it too. And I always said, like on the other shows, to get the busters, because I've seen some websites in Australia, they're doing this now. You can buy 20, 50, 100 busters, just chunks.
That's
of
great.
It. And it's not fancy. I know you're doing the jewelry, which is great too. But
oh, we do tower busters actually.
Yeah,
that's our
it's
best,
just like
our
a
best
chunky
item.
Rock. Yeah, it's a chunky rock, and you just put it around everywhere, and get a whole box of them. Get a whole bunch of them. I guess the more you get, the cheaper it is, and chuck them everywhere.
Yeah, the Tower Buster is the least expensive, and it's like it's the best organite to get if you just need organite and it doesn't need to be fancy. So we have those too. That's what we gift. When we go gifting, we're doing the simple Tower Busters. They don't have to look fancy to work.
Yeah, that's I saw a couple of guys in Australia, a couple of companies doing it. The sort of similar ones to
that's
you,
good.
And they send it out. Yeah,
that's why you guys are getting so much rain.
Yes, they're popping up all over, and I can pinpoint some areas too where this is going to really take off. So I think it's definitely something to get into for sure. So yeah, it's amazing. Amazing times. This is something that we can feel and touch and, you know, and physically see with our own eyes that this is working. People who are out there who say, oh, I don't know about this. It actually is happening. It's unbelievable. We've spoken to people who do it.
Watch
it's right
it work.
There. It's incredible. I mean, it's just people would get their minds around it. But once you get your mind around it and you can see what you're explaining today, you know, it's very refreshing. I think it'll take a lot of load off people's minds and a lot of weight. We've been so bogged down with negativity, you know, like that this couldn't happen. And so our whole belief system is structured around what these parasites do and their information and their news. That creates our whole belief world. And then when you come in and you say to someone and you talk about this stuff, Sharon, they have so much trouble believing it because
you just
it's
have to
like
try it.
Yeah,
you just have to watch it in your
it
own
go.
World. Don't make it yourself. It's pretty cheap. The first time that we did it, we just made a few and I was totally skeptical and the results were so unbelievable. It completely cleared the sky over my house, cleaned up everything that I saw up there. I didn't understand how it worked back then, but it created a blue hole in the haze. I just say the best way to see it work is to do it. Take pictures before and after you made it. Watch what it does over the next few days after you make it. Try putting it near your local cell towers. And you got to be very observant, though. You have to keep watching the sky or you won't know what it's doing. You have to watch the progression over and over again. We've seen it now over and over again for 8 years of how the sky changes and how the weather changes. But if you want to see the results of our work, if you go to my website to the Orgone Energy section, there's a best of blog, which is all of the gifting we've done and all the experiments we've done over the last 8 years. So you could see some of our results and see if they match your results.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. I think people will be wanting to do this. Anything you want to finish on before we plug out?
Oh, my website is thekembo.com.
Of course.
So that's where I'm trying to send you to look at all of my links. And through that website, you can also check out my blog. And that's where we post all the current stuff that's happening. And over the years, I mean, I have years of entries on that blog. But over the last 8 years of Orgonite gifting, everything is there. Even more so than on the website. It's a huge archive of everything we've done. So please come visit the website and check out all the work we've done. And then try it yourself. Check out our how-to videos and try it yourself and see what you can achieve in your own community.
And your book, you want to give out just a couple of bullet points on your book and where people can get it and what they can expect?
My book is called Invisible Soldiers, Silent War. It is also available just at our website, thekembo.com. And it's a full-color textbook about what we've done over the last 8 years, as well as just the first half of the book, explains the energetic war, what's been going on between the humans and the AI, the weather war, and how Orgonite works. And the second half of the book is basically a collection of everything I've written for the blog, but tuned up. You know, I took all the work that I've recorded over the years and wrote it up as a whole story. So you can see everything we've done piece by piece with color photos, with all the results, as well as cool UFO stuff. We've seen so much. So this is all the work from 2014 through 2019 in that book. And I'm currently working on another book, which is not going to be a picture book like this one, but it's going to be about what's going on now. But definitely please check out my book, Invisible Soldier, Silent War, and it's available in our shop.
So it's not on Amazon or any of those. It's just from the website. Yeah,
just on our site. I didn't bother, actually, to make it available elsewhere because we find that we're always suppressed in searches. And my main reason for doing it on Amazon would be for more traffic, but I'm not sure that it would come up easily. It just didn't seem like financially like a good idea to start an account with them to do that. So we thought also, I don't really love Amazon. I don't want them charging people sales tax and all these things or sending the book and having it get mangled. So I'm taking care of it from here and trying to send them nicely, not the way Amazon sends stuff so it gets all destroyed.
So, folks, buy the book on your website and you physically posted out to them. Obviously, yes. With other constraint and stuff, there'll be a postal charge, which you expect. I guess people can get a signed copy if they want to, too.
Yeah, just ask me when you order. Just ask me. Send me an email or just include it with your order with a note. And always please check your spam if you've emailed me, because a lot of my messages don't go to your inbox. They like to put it into spam. So, you know, unfortunately, that happens a lot of the time. We are shipping to Australia. I actually just sent a book to Australia. Postage is pretty expensive, but I think it's worth it because it's a very unique book. And it's really like an instruction manual on how to defeat the parasites and restore our world.
Well, I've got the ebook, but you don't sell the
ebooks yet? I haven't made it available on the site. I've been thinking about doing that. I only just had that made last year, or actually not even a year ago.
Good idea.
I had that put together, and I'm thinking about putting that up to I haven't done it yet. I do love people to get away from the screen, which is why I had produced it, not as an ebook, but I do have that available now, and I would be able to send you one, and I'm considering putting that up on the site too.
Yeah, it does give people, they can just download it straight away. It is quite a popular thing. I do know some other guests who do e-books, and they said they're going like hotcakes.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it because for shipping internationally, that's the main reason.
You're always going to sell the physical books, but you just tap into that other side of the market as well that, you know, that what might prefer those or might not be able to pay shipping. So it kind of covers both sides of the coin for you there. But I know you're probably someone who loves physical books as well. And you've got a lot of pictures and colored pictures, and it's, you know, it's, I understand that too. Yeah.
But I actually did have that put together when we did our, this is the second edition of the book that's out now. I mean, it barely had any changes, but mostly the paper changed because of supply issues. There were a lot of supply problems at the time we had the book printed. So it's actually, I think it's more beautiful than the original one. And I did have a PDF version of it made at the time. So I will probably put it up on the site. So just keep checking in.
All right. Great chatting with you today, as always, and a lot of great ground covered again as we move forward and we work together to incrementally break down this parasitic matrix type system around our lives. And we can, you know, at a deeper level, start to understand that we don't need this anymore. And it's not the right direction for us, and we make our way to where we need to be. So it's very interesting times, and always, every week, there's always things to cover. So have you got more trips coming up, or was that your main big one? Is there any more planned?
That was the big one for the summer.
Yeah.
We usually do something huge in the summer, or we split it up over different things. This time we just did it all in one go. And I'm not sure what the next one's going to be. I have some things that I'm eyeing. I'm eyeing Denver, and I'm eyeing Albuquerque, New Mexico. Denver, Colorado is very strategic, and I think they know that we're looking at those things. I have to put it out there publicly, even though there's been times where I kept it secret until after we did the trip. Now we're kind of putting it out there because we do need people's support, and we do need their donations to make it happen. We were able to do Salt Lake City through other people's donations that made it possible for us to make the Tower Busters, which we distributed 500 this time. So I'm not sure what's next, but I am looking at Denver, Colorado, and Albuquerque, New Mexico as major strategic spots. I'm also looking at some desert gifting around here, some roadways that we haven't gone deeply into. Like we've covered almost the whole state, but I'm looking at some areas that we haven't covered in depth and just filling in a little bit in Southern California.
Wow, that's full on. How many cars do you guys go through?
Well, we're very fortunate. We bought a Prius a few years ago, and it's been going along strong.
Yeah, right. You're doing a lot of Ks.
Yeah.
Jesus, weepers. Yeah, well, that's an important tool, huh?
Car.
Yeah, and does anyone put you up, or do you camp or stay in hotels or when you're on the road? Where do you...
All of the above. It depends on
people can put you up as well when you're gifting in those areas, which is nice.
This time we were fortunate that a friend put us up in Salt Lake City, which was great. We've had other gifting trips where we didn't know anybody and had to stay in hotels. We've had the top secret ones where we couldn't even look up anything in advance, like Phoenix last year, Project Monsoon, and Sacramento also last year. We didn't look up anything. We just showed up blindly, had our phone and computer off the whole time. So it was completely like a covert operation. So those were the difficult ones. But when we are able to say... We had our reasons we had to do them that way. But normally we tell people and we are able to book lodging in a hotel or, you know, if we're lucky, a friend helps us out. So this time we had some help.
Nice. That's great. And much more to come. So I don't know when you want to jump on again, next couple of weeks.
Or
a month. I'm here. I'm here like a Thursday's your time around 4:10 p.m., and if you want to cover anything, we can connect, that's fine.
Oh, cool. I'll check in with you when I have some news, because the news keeps rolling in.
Absolutely. If you get some news built up, jump on. We can just do the hour and cover all that and keep the information flowing. So always plenty to discover and get out there to folks. Obviously, information is part of what we're doing, isn't it? It's a real key here, getting information out to the public and sharing. You know, otherwise they won't know. So, you know, that's what we try to do. Sharing our work and websites and books and all of this is a really important part of this awareness, you know, and making people aware. So great to chat with you, and we'll connect on the next one.
Thank you so much.